Hi, and welcome to Processing Pros, a series through Eron Processing. On this series, we're joined by engineers, executives, and other thought leaders in the process manufacturing sector to cover a variety of topics you need to know to better manage your industrial process operations and to maximize product quality, output, and profitability. And now, on to the episode.
Hi, I'm Nate Todd, Senior Editor at Processing, and I'm joined today by Sharon Nowak, Global Business Development Manager for Food and Pharma at Coperion Catron. Thanks for speaking with me today, Sharon.
Thanks, Nate. It's really good to be here. Thank you.
For listeners who aren't familiar with Coperion, what types of equipment does the company manufacture and what industries do you primarily serve?
Well, Nate, thanks again for inviting us for this podcast. Just to let you know, the entire team at Coperion and our parent company, Hillenbrand, are very excited to share our news on our newest acquisitions and the creation of the FHN, or Food Health and Nutrition Group, and the great products we have to offer. So this is an excellent opportunity to do that. For those listeners that aren't aware, Coperion is a global industrial and technology manufacturing company who design and engineer systems and solutions for the food, health, and nutrition markets, as well as for polymers and chemicals, including both new technologies and aftermarket sales and services. Our areas of expertise extend to compounding and extrusion systems, sorting, shredding, washing equipment, as well as material handling of bulk solids with conveying, mixing, milling, and feeding technologies. Coperion employs about 5,000 people at 50 locations worldwide, and as a part of that, as you said, I am Global Business Development Manager for the food, nutraceutical, and pharmaceutical industries.
So in the last couple of years, Coperion's parent company, Hillenbrand, has acquired several companies, including Schenck Process, Food and Performance Materials, and its brands, Chemutech and Baker Perkins, as well as Linxis Group. How have these acquisitions impacted the markets you serve, and what are the benefits to customers?
Well, the recent acquisitions have definitely brought an enormous depth of technical expertise as well as innovative equipment for the food, nutrition, pharma, plastics, chemical, and battery industries. In the FHN group, which is food, health, and nutrition space, the addition of technologies designed for the growing markets of confectionery, bakery, plant-based products, and pet food has allowed us to provide complex systems with all solutions provided from one source and specifically designed for the application. In addition, for the highly technical requirements of the pharmaceutical and nutraceutical markets, Coperion can now provide specialized systems for both batch and continuous processing. Whether it is choosing the right mill for the application through our Chemutech powder processing technology experts, or the high-performing mixing technologies as offered through our Baker Perkins, VMI, or Diasna brands, the system experts of Coperion can now ensure that the proper technology is applied for the application. This, of course, presents a tremendous advantage and confidence for our customers, as they can now rely on a one-source supplier, all backed by our extensive global aftermarket service team.
How did you get started in this industry, and how did you end up at Coperion Catron?
Well, it's been a long road. I have a chemical engineering degree from Rutgers University, with a biochem engineering minor, and I started right into process equipment with many, many moons ago by working as an applications engineer with Quadro, who is now known as IDEX. The markets and the applications served focus mainly on the food and pharma industries. I spent approximately 10 years there and then was recruited by Hosokawa, where I worked as a technical sales manager for the food and pharma industries, and learned a variety of process applications, including milling, micronization, blending, powder transfer, etc. Coperion Catron was my next landing spot, as I was a customer for them, actually, working very closely with them on feeding applications for the Hosokawa line of milling systems. In fact, as a customer of Catron, I was involved with the original design features of Catron's first line of pharmaceutical feeders. I was hired approximately 20 years ago, I can't believe it's been 20 years, but as Global Business Development Manager for Coperion Catron, and have been working with feeding and material handling solutions ever since. And then with the Hillenbrand acquisition of the extruder brands of Coperion and Gabler, I now have added those technologies to my list. So although my specialty is in hygienic and sanitary design, including high potency containment for pharma and nutraceutical industries, I also help out with the marketing and technical specifications for the other important markets the FHN division serves, including food, pet food, confectionery, baker, and the newer market of plant-based applications.
Okay.
A long road.
Yeah, definitely. So what are the most common types of feeders for bulk solids processes, and how do end users determine which type to use for a given material and application?
Well, as your listeners are aware, there's a wide variety of feeding technologies out there. Everything from screw feeders to trays to conveyors, and they're all basically geared to specific applications. Previously, with the acquisition of the Schenck Process Food and Performance Material brand of feeding technologies, has helped expand our product offerings even more. So Coperion now can offer belt feeders, vibratory tray feeders, single and twin screw feeders, as well as rotary valves for feeding applications. And all of these feeder technologies are available in a variety of design executions, including the more standard design for plastics and chemicals, all the way up to hygienic and or high containment designs for industries like pharma or the battery market. So first and foremost, what we look at when a customer comes to us at Coperion for a feeding application is the material property of the product to be fed. We don't want to force fed a technology to the wrong application based upon the specific properties of the material. So, for example, cohesin powders may be better suited for a twin screw application. On the other hand, if you have a friable material like plastic pellets or inclusions for food applications, or granulations or even finished tablets for the pharma industry, that may be better suited for a vibratory tray or a belt feeder type design. Another critical aspect that we consider is the level of accuracy required in the feed, which will determine whether a gravimetric or a volumetric feeding is acceptable, as well as to whether this is a batch dispensing or a continuous feed application. Finally, it's important that any feed technology application takes into consideration not only the properties, but also the installation requirements, such as the frequency of cleaning, the containment of a potent compound, for example. We have feeders in the industry that are actually feeding high potency materials for cancer drugs, which are extremely toxic and cannot have any interference with the operator. Another area is space limitation. There's usually never enough height when you're trying to install a feeding operation and also the refill that goes into it. So we want to look at that as well. And then things like explosive handling properties, very important when we're dealing with materials like flours and sugar that have explosive handling issues when they are in a pneumatic convey line, for example. So we want to make sure that whatever we do for the refill of that application is designed so that we don't have any issues. And like I said, trying not to force the fit. We want to focus on the technology and get the right technology, because that will be very important as far as the customer's product quality, but also it will affect the customer's ROI of the complete process, which obviously everybody is very concerned with these days.
Sure. There's a couple of different types of feeders. Gravimetric feeders feed material by weight rather than volume. Can you talk about the difference between loss in weight and gain in weight operation for gravimetric feeders and why you would choose one over the other for a specific process?
Sure. I thought I'd start out by just discussing specifically gravimetric versus volumetric and how the technologies work, because with a gain in weight system, you're actually relying on a volumetric feeder, whereas with a loss in weight, you're relying on a gravimetric feeder. So as you stated earlier, the gravimetric feeders, they measure the weight of the bulk solids flow, and then they adjust the feeder output, whether it's speed or, in the case of a vibratory feeder, the amplitude of the vibration, to achieve and maintain the desired set point. With a volumetric feeder, we're not weighing the flow. We're just operating by delivering a certain volume of material per unit time. So with a volumetric feeder, flow rate changes are accomplished by either altering screw or vibratory speed or amplitude, like I said, but there's no feedback or loop to the actual mass that's being delivered. In the case of a volumetric screw feeders, three factors affect volumetric screw feeder accuracy: consistency of the delivered volume per screw revolution, the accuracy of the screw speed control, and the material density variability. Typically, volumetric feeders, as I mentioned before, are open-loop devices, so they can detect or adjust to variations in the material's density. Due to the open-loop concept, head load variations and material buildup on the feed device change the volume per revolution relationship, and that can throw off calibration without any sign whatsoever. But with a gravimetric feeder, you're actually automatically detecting and adjusting to these conditions. So in the cases of screw feeding of cohesive materials, for example, it's possible in volumetric mode to have relatively no material discharging while the screws are running, because then you might have a bridge in the hopper or packing in the hopper. Or if the material is very floodable or very, very free-flowing, those flood-through conditions where it's just bypassing the screws can remain undetected as well, since the feeder has no way of knowing that it's going out of control. It's actually just going at the speed that you calibrated originally for and that you told it to go at. So since the feed rate is purely a function of speed, the feeder and the process below may have no way of detecting this upset condition. And often, even if you use level sensors in the feed hopper, it doesn't alert the process of this upset in a timely fashion. And this can be critical both on continuous as well as batching applications. So the accuracy of the screw feeder in a volumetric, as I said, is for filling the screw consistently. If we're doing the same principle, say, in a rotary valve for a rotary valve feeder, it's also the same thing. We want to make sure that we have even filled the pockets in the rotary valve. It should be also noted that volumetric screw feeders represent an economical solution to process feeding applications. So if we are working with an application where the accuracy is not as critical, where we don't have to worry about those density fluctuations, then it may be more economical to go with a volumetric than to go with a loss in weight. So with a gravimetric feeder, though, as I said before, you can detect those conditions and trigger an alarm. That's why most of the continuous operations in food and pharmaceutical processes use what's called a loss in weight feeder. And a loss in weight feeder is a type of gravimetric feeder which directly measures and controls to the process variable of flow rate and can fully contain the material within the confines of the feeder. Loss in weight feeders are typically either mounted on weigh scales or suspended on load cells. A loss in weight feeder consists of a hopper and a feeder that are isolated from the process, so the whole system is continuously weighed. This is one of the reasons why loss in weight feeders are used for most, if not all, continuous operations. As the feeder discharges material, system weight declines. And in a typical loss in weight feeder, the speed of the feeding device is controlled to result in the loss of system of weight per unit time equal to the desired feed rate set point. So if we have, say, a rat hole or a bridge in the hopper, the feeder actually knows that it's not losing any weight through the controller because it's measuring the actual weight on the scale. And it'll either speed up the screws or slow down the screws, so the same mass flow is always occurring. In the case of loss of weight ingredient batching, which is used often for multi-ingredient blends which require high accuracy, each ingredient is dedicated to its own feeder and dosed into the process below. Conversely, for gain in weight feeding or batching, the device that the feeder is feeding on is on load cells, and this can be a hopper, a tank, in some cases even a mixer or a pneumatic receiver. In this case, the volumetric feeder feeds into the device and the gain in weight is measured until the device meets that specific set point. That's when it tells the feeder to either slow down to what's a trickle mode so it can just trickle the last amount in, and that's how you get your accuracy. If we're feeding several ingredients into a mixer, for example, the ingredients, however, have to be fed one at a time. In addition, if one of the ingredients' batch set point is much less than the other, say, for example, we're feeding micros, even for like a bakery application, if we're feeding high-value ingredients like flavors and also sugar and flour, the flour set point, the whole batch needs to be weighed by these load cells. So the load cells may not be able to detect that very small, minute amount of the high-value ingredients like the flavors. So in those cases, we may be doing combinations of both loss in weight and gain in weight. loss in weight for the micros and minors, as we call them, in order to get the high accuracy and to get the best return on investment and not make sure you don't put too much of that high value ingredient into the mix. And then use gain in weight for the macro ingredients where the accuracy isn't as critical. So what that does is it keeps our overall costs down on the system. It's also important to note that with gain in weight systems, because you're doing batching with a volumetric feeder into a device on load cells, only one ingredient can be done at a time. So what happens with this is your overall batch time increases, which can increase the overall time for processing that specific compound or mix. So the key there is if you want to have something where you have quick changeover times, which is one of the big things in both in all industries, whether it's plastics, chemicals, food, or pharmaceutical, it may be better to do a loss in weight system because your overall batch times will be much lower. So that can also help with the overall ROA for the process because the turnovers can be much quicker.
That makes sense. So in recent years, there's been a trend. You mentioned continuous manufacturing earlier. There's been a trend in pharma manufacturing away from batch processes and toward continuous processes. What challenges has this move presented to manufacturers, and how can modern equipment help to address these challenges?
Well, there have been a lot of technical articles and papers on this. As a matter of fact, the FDA is heavily pushing continuous for its advantages. Specifically, that was advanced as a result of the pandemic, because continuous processing not only offers key advantages such as ease of scale up, smaller overall footprint, faster turnover, less inventory, and in some cases, higher quality, but as I mentioned, faster turnover, it allows you to get the drugs from development to production much faster. And then that way we can address issues like the pandemic where we have shortages and whatnot, or drugs that need to be developed. With continuous, we can get that done as a much quicker time frame. But one of the biggest challenges in continuous manufacturing, whether it's what's called direct compression, where we're going right from a mixer to a tablet press, wet granulation, dry granulation, or hot melt extrusion, is the accurate feeding and refill of the ingredients, whether it's highly potent active ingredients called APIs, that's your drug substance that's in the blend, and then the excipients. Most excipients, like lactose, for example, are not free-flowing. So there are some APIs which are extremely difficult to feed continuously. And one of the objectives of Coperion and also of drug substance manufacturers and even excipient manufacturers is try to alleviate the flow properties of those compounds, and then Coperion to design equipment that will be able to help with the feeding so that you can do more on the continuous side. We offer a wide variety of solutions for some of these difficult materials. Some of them include our innovative technology called ActiFlow, which is a smart vibration device to help with flow out of the feeder. We have modular design feeders where we may find that going to a larger screw and size feeder, like going from a 20 millimeter to a 35 millimeter, can help with flow issues with very low bulk density materials. But we'll do that all within one feeder so you can swap out those very quickly. But there's still those drug substances which can be better processed in a bad situation. So whenever any continuous process is being considered, it's important to test and optimize the feeding technologies available for the specific material properties. Another thing that's often overlooked, and it's usually considered after the fact, is not only to look at the feeder, but to also look at how the method is being, or the feeder is being refilled, and the complete solution, not just the feeding aspect. And this is extremely important, because consistent refill is critical to any continuous process. So it's important to work with a supplier like Coperion that not only recognizes the challenges and solutions available for feeding materials, but can also handle the requirements of delivery of those products to the feeder and ensure that the continuous process is not interrupted. So solutions for material handling can include proper layout of the upstream equipment, proper selection of the refill technology, proper selection of all equipment components to ensure efficient cleaning, containment, and safe operation. That was actually particularly important when we were developing the modular pharmaceutical feeder. Our teams on the R&D side for Coperion are always constantly innovating new methods on all of our equipment to combat all of these challenges. Another area that we get involved specifically on continuous is hot melt extrusion. And that's another continuous process which is being utilized for solid dosage form production and has been shown to have distinct advantages in the production of specific compounds such as highly insoluble drug forms. This technology has been used many years in the plastics industry and is relatively new to the pharma industry compared to more traditional techniques. In this technology, as well as continuous processing in general, one of the key challenges is the learning curve of new engineers and operators over batch processes. So in order to help with this education, Coperion offers a number of seminars and training sessions. We also do quite a lot of work with universities where we have equipment currently on continuous systems. And they focus on a variety of technologies, including feeding, refill, and extrusion. So one of the last things I should bring up is another key advantage of the newly formed FHN group is that Coperion can now offer not only solutions for continuous, but through our acquisition of Diosna, we now also have a full line of batch granulation and drying solutions for batch operations. So we're very excited about being able to also offer the complete gamut for applications where it may not be applicable on the continuous side. In fact, at this year's Interfex, we're actually highlighting technologies for both continuous and batch processing.
What are some other common challenges faced by bulk solids processors, and how are new technologies helping to overcome those challenges?
Well, from an equipment standpoint, Nate, the material characteristics, as I mentioned before, those are usually the biggest challenge when choosing the right feeder or material handling slash conveying or milling technology. I talked about some of the developments in feeders that we've done to help with these issues. But from a systems perspective, the two biggest challenges can often include the methods of cleaning and the requirements of dust and potent compound containment. For example, the growing market of processing batteries, which is another area we get involved in, can often require the same hygienic design and containment standards as that of the pharmaceutical industry. So it's important when designing systems for both industries that the end user looks at a supplier that can supply options in the systems that addresses all of these requirements. There are also several technologies available to help with product flow, inclusive of when I mentioned the active flow on the feeders, but also devices like aerated cones and discharges and fluidizers on the discharge of hoppers, silos, conveying receivers, et cetera, to help with consistent flow out of the device to the process below. In addition, there are a wide variety of options in design available for cleaning the system, whether it's a pigging device to clean a food conveying line or a complete wash and place system designed for the dairy or pharma nutraceutical markets. The FHN group in Coperion has also specialized equipment designs for the dairy industry, including USDA-approved and completely CIP-able rotary and diverter valves, as well as USDA feeding equipment. There is also a specialized air classifier mill through Schenck, which can be easily disassembled and cleaned for dairy applications. And the last thing that I also see quite a bit as far as the advancement of bulk solids processing in general is the options now available for automation for all of these applications. You can just have simple improvements in instrumentation, such as, for example, in the pharmaceutical industry, process analytical technology, which is PAT, which can give direct feedback on exactly what's happening as the material is traveling through the line, all the way to complex PLC and or data collection systems along the lines of Industry 4.0, which on a food or a plastics or a chemical application can actually send signals back constantly to let you know exactly what is going on within each piece or component within the system, and then allows maintenance to keep an eye on things so they don't have failure modes or shutdowns. So Coperion's extensive degree of automation experts can supply any variety of complexity from very simple systems, depending upon the end user's requirement and, of course, investment. All these key bulk processing handling requirements are typically discussed with the end user when providing any use Coperion system to make sure that we not only give the best solution for the system, but also advise any options that are available to upgrade that system as well.
Well, thanks for speaking with me today, Sharon. It was great talking to you.
Thank you very much, Nate. Again, I really, really do appreciate it. And if anybody requires any further information, you can get in touch with us through our website or contact me directly on LinkedIn.
Sounds good. Thanks.
Thank you for listening to Ear on Processing. If you're enjoying the podcast, please leave a 5-star review on your favorite podcasting app and share our episodes with colleagues that could find the information we share helpful.